Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Easter, by the way.
Happy Easter.
There you go. What was wrong with today's gospel? Did you hear it? Did you see it? It was blatantly, absolutely, undeniably, 100% wrong with today's gospel reading. I will read it to you again. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Yeah, Karen?
Everybody else, all the other Gospels say they went and told Peter.
Yeah! Look at that last sentence. So the women went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. That's okay right there. No problem. Terror and amazement is seeing an angel, hearing about the risen Christ. I'm with you. This makes sense. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. If they said nothing to anyone, how do we know what happened to them? You ever think about that for a second? Something doesn't make sense. I mean, if you say nothing to anyone about an experience that you have had, no one else knows about it then, right? Isn't that kind of how that works? I'm seeing some confusion. Maybe you're confused at me, maybe you're confused at the words of Mark today. There are three things that you should know about the gospel according to St. Mark. Three things. Well, there are many things, but you're going to get three this morning. One, it is the shortest gospel. You might have known that. It is about 20 to 30% shorter than any of the other three. It is by far the shortest gospel. Second thing about the gospel according to St. Mark, it is probably the oldest gospel. Most people think it was written sometime in the 60s A.D., so in that first generation or so after Jesus and the original disciples have all died or are getting older. And so the concern is starting up. We need to keep these stories. We need to make sure that they are preserved. And so instead of just having the oral story, they start writing it down. So Mark is probably the oldest gospel. And the third thing about St. Mark that you may not realize is that it has as many endings as the other three gospels combined. Let me explain. The ending of Matthew. After the resurrection, Jesus comes to the disciples and he says to them, "Go and make disciples of all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything, and know that I'm with you to the end of the age." Does that sound kind of familiar? The Great Commission? Nods. Good. It's early, I know that. The end of Luke. After the resurrection, Jesus shows up on the road to Emmaus, visits the disciples, and then ascends. The end of John. After the resurrection, Jesus shows up to the disciples, talks to Peter, says, "Simon, do you love me? If so, feed my sheep," etc. Then he leaves and tells them, "Follow me." But Mark is confusing. Because when you look through all the Greek manuscripts that we have, the oldest versions we have of Mark, there were three different endings that show up. On some of them, the longest version, Jesus shows up after the resurrection. He talks to them about how wondrous signs will be done, about handling snakes and speaking in tongues. People will be able to drink poison without harm. And then he ascends. on some of those manuscripts. He shows up after the resurrection. He returns, he tells the disciples, or the women return, they tell the disciples about his resurrection, and then he sends everybody out. And the shortest ending for St. Mark is the one we heard today. So the women went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There's a resurrection, and Jesus sends people out. 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 There is a resurrection, and Jesus sends people out. Terror and silence. One of these does not belong, or is at least a little bit different. Every 3 years in the lectionary cycle, the cycle of readings that we hear on the various days of the church year, every 3 years we hear this gospel reading, this piece from Mark, this unfinished ending. And the oddest part to this seemingly unfinished ending, where the women in terror and amazement say nothing, is that that is also probably the oldest ending to Mark. I know this is confusing. It's almost like Bible study right in the morning. On Easter Sunday, what is Pastor Chris doing today? Just work with me here. The oldest version we have of Mark is this short ending that we heard today. And Mark is probably the oldest gospel, which means the oldest ending to our oldest gospel is kind of lame. Jesus doesn't show up. We're told that he's raised, and that's great. I like that part. And then it just kind of peters out with terror and amazement. Why? Why would Mark end it this way? There was something else weird about the gospel today, about the story itself. Why didn't the women turn back? Did you catch that? It said that they're on the way to the tomb. They brought their spices, all the things they need to prepare the body of Jesus. They're on their way to the tomb. They're going, they're talking, they know what they're going to do. And then along the way they realize, oh, hey, there's a gigantic rock in front of the tomb. How will we move it? You remember that was in there? And what do? They keep going. Most of you know that until a couple months ago, I was serving a church out on the coast of Washington State. And it was about a 4-hour drive for my wife and I and our son to go see our family and friends in the Puget Sound area. And so every month, we would pack up the car, we would pack up, you know, clothes and toys for the kid, and games and books to entertain him, and his car seat, and he likes to fall asleep to music, so we'd make sure we had his sleeping CD, and food for the road, and food for the dog, and diapers when he was little, and you know, all this stuff. And sometimes, on our trip, we would realize that we had forgotten something. Sometimes we'd remember it all, like once. But usually we would realize, you know, that's how it works, that we had forgotten something. And sometimes it was small, like a toothbrush. And so we would say, oh, hey, we can get a new toothbrush. That's not a problem. But sometimes it was bigger, like, you know, our son. Thank you for laughing. And you go back in those situations. You say, oh yeah, well we should probably get him because that would be really awkward if we showed up without him. Forgetting about the gigantic rock in front of the door is a big deal. They even say they don't know how they're going to move it. So why didn't they go back? Why didn't they go back for help? Why did they keep going? Maybe. Rhetorical questions apparently get responses here. I must make a mental note of this. I told you earlier that Mark is the shortest gospel. Okay? It's about 20 to 30% shorter than the other three. And much of this is due to the way in which it is written. If you read Mark, especially if you read it in its original language, it's very action-oriented. There's not a lot of descriptive terms in it. Mark tends to have very, very short, concise sentences. And then he uses the word immediately a lot. So it will be, this happened, immediately, this happened, immediately, this happened, immediately, this happened. And that's how he writes. I mean, my English teacher in high school would have failed him. But that's how he writes, these little tiny short sentences, and this immediately to link them all together. Mark's gospel has a mission. It has a story to tell. It's not waiting to tell that story. Mark's gospel does not get slowed down by details or expanding on details. The goal is to write down the story, to make sure it is preserved, to get it on paper as quickly as possible. There is no time to waste. And the people in Mark behave similarly. Why don't the women turn back? Because they are on a mission. They will deal with any hurdles as they appear. Till then, nothing is going to slow them down. Nothing is going to stop them. They know that up ahead there's this obstacle. They acknowledge there is this huge rock that we're going to have to deal with when we get to the tomb. And they keep going anyway. Because they know that with God, they will find a way through it. The thing about Mark is that it is not just a gospel intended to describe people in action. Mark is a gospel intended to inspire people to action. It is a gospel intended to foster belief, intended to make us act. It isn't just a story. It isn't just entertainment. And it doesn't have a nice, tidy wrap-up like the other gospels. Obviously, we know something is different about that ending. We know that regardless of what it says, the women did say something to someone. Because otherwise it would be really hard to know about it. But if they hadn't told someone, if they had not, who would? That's the question that Mark leaves us with. That is what Mark gives us with his ending. He gives the hearer a commission. It's not the same commission, the Great Commission in Matthew, but it is a commission just the same. Easter morning is not just a time to make a trip to church, to eat some ham, maybe some green beans, hunt for some Easter eggs, and then call it a day. Easter is a time to tell the story. And if those women didn't tell it, well, who would? Would I? Would you? That is what Mark asks us. Amen.